May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, one day there was a woman who was out jogging in the morning, and as she was coming down her neighborhood, she noticed a moving van that was parked outside one of the houses, and they were unloading it, and out of it came this gold embossed red velvet upholstered throne and a stack of jewel encrusted crowns. When she passed by on her way back from her run, she happened to notice a beef eater standing guard posted outside the front door of the house. So when she finally got home, she went up to her husband and said, "Honey, you're on the HOA board, right? Is there royalty that has moved into the neighborhood?" "Oh, yeah," he replied. "They're two doors down." "Ah, yeah, I got you with that one." Well, just how does the Bible describe the promised coming king, the Messiah? Well, the prophet Isaiah looks forward to a day when prey and predator were to rest as friends under the reign of our peaceful Messiah. And the apostle Paul, well, to him, he's the hope of the Gentiles, whose rule will bring lasting harmony between Jew and Gentile. And then the forerunner, John the Baptist, well, the Messiah for him was hot on his heels of that ragged prophet and ready to baptize this world with the Holy Spirit and fire. All very grandiose pictures of the King of Kings. All of this makes the psalmist's coronation psalm this morning seem pretty pale and earthy by comparison. The psalmist offers praises for a human king, an earthly descendant of David, even though we often look to such psalms to give us a peek behind a curtain of what we expect the Messiah would look like. So the psalmist is describing an heir of David who at first seems to be no more divine than we are. And that makes Psalm 72 a little bit more approachable than some of the cosmic language that we encounter in the other readings this morning. Yet, he is talking about a ruler upon whom nearly divine expectations are being placed. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity, but Kelly and I have had the opportunity to watch some of The Crown on Netflix, which dramatizes the life of Queen Elizabeth II from her early days, succeeding her father, George VI, in the 1950s. And in one poignant scene, the story flashes back to her childhood. Here is the child Elizabeth helping her daddy rehearse his coronation vows just after his brother had scandalized Britain to go off and marry an American divorcee. And the soon-to-be George VI impresses upon the young Elizabeth the sacredness of being anointed and crowned, a moment in which God transforms a royal heir into a bearer of divine grace to rule and represent a higher heavenly ideal before the people. Almost makes you want to go back to England, huh? Well, as human as the inheritor of David's throne is to the psalmist, the kinds of responsibilities that that same psalmist connects to the throne are astronomically high. Abundant prosperity, perfect righteousness, unimpeachable integrity, unwavering justice, preferential defense of the poor and the weak over and against the rich and the powerful, a length of office extending the horizon up to eternity, a span of geographical rule and hegemony that encompasses the known world. These are the hopes touted for the new king about to be anointed in the psalmist's song. And these hopes, frankly, are descriptive of someone more divine than human. The person who deserves the high praise being offered by the psalmist is a person who needs to be down to earth as any man, yet whose character and influence and raw power needs to be like God Almighty himself. Who can fit this bill? Who can measure up to this fully human, fully divine description of this king? Well, plenty of ancient rulers have attempted to. The pharaohs of Egypt styled themselves as descendants of the gods, which wasn't unlike their pagan neighbors and their practices. Dictators throughout human history, even up till today, have fashioned pretensions of being one with the common man, yet have demanded heavenly level obedience and unquestioning loyal, despite the foibles, lies, and patent inhumanity inflicted upon those who were scapegoated in their respective societies. But there is someone who fits the psalmist's bill. The church has always held that Jesus meets both the completely human and utterly divine criteria long hoped for in our rulers. Millennia of Christian faithful have found that the God-man from Nazareth to be the Messiah, which far surpasses our wildest biblical expectations. Jesus rules righteously, as the psalm describes, because he intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. He has concern for the poor and weak, modeling and teaching what social justice looks like, and then commissioning us to continue what he began by empowering us with his own presence, with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He rules, and it extends beyond this earth, even to the whole universe, plus it lasts forever. Indeed, the very dew of heaven raining down upon us to water and refresh us, both physically and spiritually, is his. Jesus exceeds the psalmist's high aspirations for any king who might inherit the throne of David. So, we should be reticent to pass on what rightfully belongs to Jesus to mere earthly rulers. As inspiring a scene as the crown may portray in that tender moment between a king-to-be and his young daughter, no earthly king, dictator, congressman, president, prime minister, bishop, or chieftain could ever bear the weight of responsibility that a biblical Messiah ever could. No matter the aspirations or pretensions of even our noblest rulers, a Washington, a Lincoln, a Roosevelt, no one can nor should usurp what by right belongs to Christ alone. He solely can govern us with perfect mercy, perfect justice, perfect compassion, perfect integrity. And the moment we take something from our Lord's hands and place it in the hands of fallen men and women, we can be sure that they'll drop the ball. And people will inevitably get hurt. The genius of contemporary democratic systems might be that it spreads the load of governance for everyone to carry in some respect. But still, without a proven Messiah who can change the hearts of sinful people into beacons of divine light, no amount of checks and balances will ever secure permanent peace, permanent security, or permanent provision that touches every human soul. Only Jesus' rule can. He not only rules over all, he rules within all, making it possible for God's divine plan of goodness and love to be executed from the inside out. Transformed hearts, restored lives, and spirit-empowered people who have experienced what it means to have a king who will never be caught with his hand in the cookie jar, caught with his pants down, caught with his compassion stretched thin, or caught with his decisions being unjust. He can turn our very weakness into strength. He can turn our sorrow into dancing. He can illuminate every dark corner of our lives. Only Jesus is able to achieve what the human heart has ached for in our earthly rulers for so long. That and much more. So this Advent, don't give in to secondhand promises from second-rate rulers. No mortal leader, nor worldly government or business interest or charity or even DIY self-help scheme could ever govern the unruly human heart. Trust Jesus instead. He's already secured the reign of God above, and we await his return on earth to implement what he has begun in heaven. Until then, we tap into heaven through the Spirit at work in us. Heaven is in our hearts, St. Paul says, and the world gets to see that very heaven through us. We, the church, are the embassy of the coming King. We represent the interests of a perfect eternity to an imperfect world. So let us trust Jesus together, not earthly powers. Let us demonstrate the heavenly values of giving, serving, and sacrificing, not worldly attempts to control, oppress, and hoard. If we have that kind of trust, I'm confident that we'll find Jesus to be more than enough, overflowing with abundant life for anyone in the midst of a world scraping tooth and nail merely to survive. Let us pray. We give you praise and thanks, Almighty King of Heaven, whose Son far exceeds any human leader's attempts to bring peace, justice, and mercy. Grant us, your people, the grace of your empowering Spirit to model the perfect reign of your Messiah, that all might place their trust in him, and none be seduced by any pretender who claims to be or do what rightly is only true of our coming King, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.